Out There by Jerrycane, read by Petica. Disclaimers. Not mine, no disrespect or offense intended to anyone. Summary. They're out there, Neil tells him, pointing to his The Truth Is Out There poster, aka the X-Files slash Doctor Who fusion. Aliens? Chris asks, trying to keep a straight face, and probably failing. Yep, Neil nods somberly. People had warned Chris about the weirdo in the basement, but Chris had thought they were all exaggerating. How bad can the man be if he can still close cases the way he does? But then, no one had said anything about aliens. They're out there, Neil tells him, pointing to his The Truth Is Out There poster. Chris had thought that the poster was meant to be ironic or something. Damn it. Oh, come on, Chris, Neil says, putting his feet up on his desk and crossing his ankles. He has that smug look on his face again, the one he wears whenever he makes a wild guess the first second a new case comes in, which then turns out to be completely right. Chris hates that smug look. You saw what happened last Christmas. Don't tell me the big honkin' spaceship didn't clue you in. That was an experimental military craft. Chris glances at the door. It's open. He can pretend to go out for a cup of coffee and then head straight upstairs and request a transfer. It would be terribly rude, and Chris would feel very bad about it. But at the end of the day, being rude is much better than being stuck in the basement with a crazy person. Neil snorts. And the Roswell crash was just a surveillance balloon. It was. Neil takes out his phone. I can prove it to you, he says. My brother's out there with one of them. Out there is accompanied by an upward gesture with his phone. Probably not to indicate the assistant director's office, Chris guesses. He takes a step back. His ass meets the edge of his own desk. Abducted? Nope, Neil says, shaking his head. Just hanging out. He fiddles with his phone, the tip of his tongue poking out through his pursed lips. And you're going to call the aliens now? Neil rolls his eyes, because of course Chris is the one being ridiculous here. I'm going to text them. Huh, Chris says, gripping the edge of his desk. Emergency, Neil says as he types. Daleks here. Come quick. He gives Chris a beaming smile and hits send with a flourish. Now you'll see. Then he sits with his arms crossed over his chest and stares at the empty space between their desks expectantly. Chris stares at him. They wait. Nothing happens. The bitch! He doesn't even care if I live or die, Neil grumbles. It's been 45 minutes since he texted his brother, who hangs out with aliens, and the spaceship is yet to land in their basement office. Seeing the put-out look on Neil's face, Chris almost suggests that they go up to the roof to wait. But then he figures they're probably safer in the basement. Right now, he wouldn't trust Neil not to push him off the building because he thinks the Easter Bunny is after them or something. It could have been Daleks. I would have been exterminated way before he deigned to get off his ass. Chris makes a non-committal sound, clutching his guitar closer. Making music has always had a calming effect on him, and right now, he needs that more than ever. If the guitar also provides a physical shield between them, all the better. That's actually why he'd wanted the basement office. More than the assignment, it had been about the peace and quiet down here. No one cares what he plays. Their only neighbors are the files in the archives and the rats eating them. He'll have to come home eventually. I'll show him. Chris is so focused on his song that he doesn't even notice the sound at first. But then it gets louder and louder, and the papers start flying off their desks, and Neil starts cackling. Told you! A blue box materializes between their desks, right at the spot that Neil had been staring at like a lunatic. It's big, and very blue, and very strange. It's a police box, apparently, and alien police box. Neil has very unexpected connections in law enforcement. Chris is busy trying to make himself let go of the guitar so as not to damage it when the door of the box opens and two men jump out. One of them has distractingly large ears and is holding up a metal pen in front of him like a sword. The other is just plain distracting. His hair is standing straight up in gravity-defying fashion. He has blue glittery eyeshadow lining his eyes, and he's wearing a sheet. The most absurd thing about him, though, is that he looks perfectly serious, poised to strike with a tennis racket in hand. They look around, tense and ready to fight. Then the one with the ears turns to Chris and says, "You're not a Dalek." Chris shakes his head. He hopes that's the right thing to do. "Hmm," the ear guy says, raising an eyebrow. Then his face clears shockingly fast, and he grins at Chris. "Hello, I'm the doctor. Who are you?" Chris says, The sheet guy, Adam, Neil's brother who ran away with the aliens, smacks Neil on the back of his head. "Ow!" Chris feels himself warming up to Adam immediately. He's been wanting to do just that since the very first day he met Neil. One of these days, it really will be Daleks, and I'll already be dead by the time you arrive, Neil exclaims irritably. "Where the hell have you guys been?" His thingamabob has been acting up. "His what?" "My timey-wimey console," the doctor says, from where he's been checking out the very fascinating array of office supplies on Neil's desk. He plays with the stapler for a bit, staples his tie to his jacket, looks very happy with the results, and then discovers Neil's snacks. "Sunflower seeds!" he cries. "I haven't had these in ages!" Chris blinks at the man's joyful reunion with bird food and shares a completely accidental eye roll with the sheet-wearing brother of his apparently not-that-crazy partner. By the time he has realized what he's done, he is a very tall, very glittery, very probably naked under his sheet man crowding against him. "Hi," Adam drawls. His grin looks wicked. "I don't think we've been officially introduced. I'm Adam." He holds out his hand, but it just looks funny stuck there like that, since he hasn't left enough space between them for shaking hands. Or, you know, breathing. Chris gulps. "Chris!" "You're pretty," Adam says, eyes running over Chris's face. Chris can almost physically feel Adam's gaze on him, and he's pretty sure his cheeks are a strikingly bright red now because of it. Part of him wants to be indignant and angry at the invasion of his personal space, but that doesn't mix well with the furious blushing. He ends up at something like nervous bashfulness, which is not what he was going for at all. "Adam," the doctor says, warning in his voice. Adam takes a step back and whines. "What?" "We talked about the touching." "I haven't touched him yet. God, you're no fun at all." He grabs Chris's wrist rebelliously, making Chris squeak just a little bit, and sticks his tongue out at the doctor. Chris is still staring at their hands and contemplating what to do when Neil interrupts his thoughts. "What the hell are you wearing?" The doctor spits out a shell. "My sheets." Neil raises an eyebrow. The doctor cracks another seed and spits out the shell again. Not in a fun way, I assure you. Adam heaves a sigh. "We were going to ancient Rome," he explains. To Chris, though God knows why. It's not like Chris was even curious. "I couldn't just show off my Galliano jacket now, could I?" Chris shakes his head. "That would not do. Probably." "I wanted to blend in," Adam defends himself. Neil snickers. "Wearing a sheet?" "It's a toga," Adam declares, offended. "They didn't have jackets back then. Don't you know anything?" You sure they had glittery eyeshadow?" Chris asks. Adam grins at him, like Chris has said something brilliant. I'm pretty sure they didn't, but white makes me look so washed out, you know? Chris nods dutifully. Sure, whatever the crazy person with alien friends with weirdo box-shaped spaceships says. The doctor pockets a handful of sunflower seeds and then claps his hands. Time to go. Neil, it's been a pleasure. Next time you want to text Adam about fake Daleks, please keep in mind the sad yet educational story of the boy who cried wolf. Neil blanches. The doctor turns to Chris and bows. Christopher, wonderful to meet you. Then he looks at Adam and nods towards the blue box. Adam? Ancient Rome. Adam perks up at his words, but then looks at Chris and deflates. He reluctantly lets go of Chris's wrist, carefully placing his hand on the guitar, like Chris can't do it for himself, and pets Chris's hair wistfully. Can we? Nope, the doctor says, without even bothering to turn around. But I... Nuh-uh. Maybe we could... Not bloody likely. Adam throws his arms around Chris and smushes his face against Chris's neck. But I want to keep him! Chris freezes. He keeps himself just fine, thank you very much. But the words won't leave his mouth because, well, Adam is distracting. His sheet is slipping and his hands are warm and large against Chris's back. And he smells like lavender and... All right, the doctor says with a long-suffering sigh. But he's your responsibility. If he gets lost in ancient Rome and gets sold into slavery, it's all on you. Okay, Adam says giddily and pulls Chris towards the box. Wait, what, slavery? Adam offers him a sweet smile. It'll be okay. I have more sheets we can use. Oh, great, Neil mumbles. Now I'm going to have to break in another partner. 3 hours later. Adam! The doctor knocks on the door insistently. Chop, chop! I fixed the console. We're in ancient Rome. Adam fights his way out of the sheets, none of which are being used as clothing anymore, and clears his throat. I have my hands full right now. Chris squirms under him. Adam had his hands full, and he will get them right back where they were a moment ago if he knows what's good for him. Of course you do, the doctor mumbles. You go! Have fun! Adam says distractedly, looking down Chris's chest. We'll be here. The doctor mutters something about betrayal. Chris is too busy panting to listen closely. He pushes Adam down, down. Stop teasing! Almost there. Yes. Oh, Adam says, raising his head. You want my toga? He yells towards the door. The doctor tells him just what he can do with his toga. Adam lets out a horrified gasp, but then seems contemplative. I think we just did, actually. They hear the TARDIS door slam shut. Where were we? Adam asks, pushing up on his elbows. You had your hands full, Chris reminds him. Oh, yes, Adam says, running his hands down Chris's sides. He stops at Chris's waist when he seems to get a better idea. Chris gasps. Or your mouth, he concedes. That also works. 12 hours later. When the doctor comes back, he's wearing a white cotton pillowcase. Chris stares at his scrawny legs sticking out of it. He looks cold. You sure you don't want a sheet? The doctor takes in the surprisingly comfortable toga Chris is wearing with envy. A sheet would be lovely, yes. The end. Reader's notes. Thank you to Jerrikeen for giving Blanket permission to record her fic. If you'd like to find this fic online, it can be found at jerrikeen.rockandroll.com/fic/outthere.html. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at padakaproductions.com. Thanks for listening.